ask you a question this morning, I want you to repeat after me. I am responsible for my choices that I make. Say that. Responsible for the choices that I make. We are responsible for what choices we make in this life, are we not? You don't point your finger at somebody else. You can point your finger at no one else. When you make the choices that we do in this life, sometimes we're responsible for those choices. Have you noticed in our society, we're going to be over in Romans 14. I'll get to the scripture here in a little bit. Father, I'm going to have a word of prayer right now before we go any farther. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come thanking you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. I want to praise you, Father, this morning. You know what? We come before you humble, Lord. We come before you as only that only we can come, Lord, in giving you the praise and the glory and letting you know that we cannot do nothing without you. And, Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that you would give us the message this morning. Show us what's needed in our hearts here this morning. And amen. Amen. Have you noticed that our society has produced individuals who ignore their responsibility? Have you noticed that? You know what? They try and blame others for their problems. It's just commonplace. If one gets into a financial hardship, it's not their fault. It's the banks and the loan companies for making it so easy for them to get credit. Have you noticed that? And it is. And you know what? We expect the government to take care of that, right? Exactly. We do. Instead of us trying to take care of that, we expect the government to take care of that problem for us. If you develop some form of cancer from using tobacco down through the years, you know what? And it's not your fault. It's not my fault that I did that. It's the fault of those tobacco companies for what they've done and put this stuff in it. And it's their fault. I hope you get the point that I'm trying to say here. If someone goes off the deep end and grabs a gun and starts killing innocent people, wounding and killing innocent children and adults and whatever, you know what? They blame mom, they blame dad, they blame uncles, classmates, they blame gun manufacturers, they blame retailers, they blame the governor, they blame the Senate, and they blame the president, and whoever else they can put the blame on, that's who they blame. The responsibility's not on them, you see. It's not their fault. If they practice sexual perversions in this country, of course it's not their fault that they're that way. They blame it on their genes. You know who they really are blaming? They're blaming God because God made them that way. That's who they blame. They don't blame themselves. They don't take it upon their own responsibility. The church world's not out of this either. Let's just put the finger right where it brings to be in this too also. They have not escaped the blame game. Some begin to fall away from the Lord. Stop coming to church. It's the church's fault, you see. It's not theirs. It's the church was not friendly enough. The preacher's not friendly enough, not good enough. It's never their fault. And you know, it's everybody else's fault that was in that church, that they left that church and that they went someplace else. And you know what makes me, what really gets me whenever I tell you about that is, some of them quit going to church totally. They don't ever try to find another church, but you have to blame the church for what's going on. That's what they'll do. And they don't find that responsibility of their own to try to, they just blame, people are blaming hereditary stuff, they're blaming environment, they're blaming job pressures, poverty, prejudice, abuse, and everything else that they can think of for their bad behavior in the world today. But I want to stand up here firmly and tell you this morning that that's not what the Bible teaches. Do you understand? The Bible does not teach that we throw the blame on somebody else. You know what the Bible tells us in Romans 14, 11, and 12? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You can raise your hands right now. You are the one that will give an account to God. Dave Long will not give an account for you one day. Your husband, your spouse, the person you're sitting in front of in this church will not give an account for what you have decided to do in this life that you live in. That is not. God is going to hold us responsible for the choices we make. Yes, I understand that there are people out there who abuse and misuse and even torture other individuals. And they will answer for their own sins. The Bible tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he has done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I don't care who you are, you will stand and give an account for everything that you have ever done in this body one day. I firmly believe that, brothers and sisters, when you stand before an all-knowing and all-loving God and the books are open, you are not going to say a word. You're not even going to be able to look up at Him. Because you're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what He's saying is truth, and the truth will hit you to the very soul. It'll cut asunder. It will do that. But when it comes down to us being responsible for our sins, the Bible plainly states that we will be held accountable for those things. Every deed done in this body, whether good or bad, we will do that. There was a story several years back that I read about two twin sisters. And their mother was an alcoholic. And she abused them, and she was an alcoholic, and she abused them. Whenever those two growed up, the one twin sister became an alcoholic also. And they asked her, and I quote, they said, when the one twin was asked why she'd become an alcoholic, her reply was, well, my mother was an alcoholic, so what can you expect? That was her response. The other twin never drank a drop in her life. Never did anything like that. Actually, had never even tried to. And they asked her, why did you not start drinking? And her reply was, well, my mother was an alcoholic, so what do you expect? We have choices, brothers and sisters. We can make the right choices. We can do that. You see, the choice is ours. Is anybody in here a lettuce seed? Or is anybody in here a kernel of corn? Are you a potato? Because if you plant a lettuce seed in the ground, if you plant a potato in the ground and you water it, what's going to come up? They have no choice. It's coming up lettuce. It's coming up potatoes, or it's coming up corn. You know what? But God has made human beings. We are created higher than the plants and the animals. Although I think there's some that would disagree with me. We are created higher than the animals and the vegetation. We can choose to be good or bad. We can choose to obey God or not. But remember, we're responsible for those choices that we make. What about And I'm going to be over in Genesis a little bit, because I want to talk about the story of Noah, because I believe this is relevant to what we're talking about here. It's over in Genesis, the 6th chapter. This story is more than animals that were being saved. I think this story is more than about a man building an ark. I want to tell you that it's about human beings, a human race engrossed in sin. It's a story about God's judgment, and it's a story about His mercy and His grace. Whenever we're talking about Noah, this is what it's all wrapped up in this story. And you know what? I'm going to read some of it for you here over in Genesis 6. We're going to start with verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Remember that. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. We can't. Can we even comprehend what God was looking upon here? We can't. I'll tell you what, I believe it's getting close, though. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's what God's telling them so far. Listen, you see what God's saying. For if we, and I want you to go back to verse 5 and notice this. It said that in verse 5, the absolute wickedness of Noah's day, the wickedness of man had gotten so bad that every inclination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil all the time. What's he trying to say there? He's saying that they were so wicked that every natural tendency that they had, every urge to act, was only evil. That's how bad that it had gotten. Have you noticed anything, folks? Have you noticed anything going on in this world today? Listen, whatever he's saying is so weird that every natural tendency and every urge to act or feel was evil all the time. That's what he was trying to say. In plain English, Ed, they were rotten to the core. You know what? Ed could tell you, if you got an apple that's rotten to the core, Ed, is that apple any good for anything? No, it's not any good for anything. That's what it means. The New Living Translation, if you read what it paraphrases in it, it said they were rotten to the core. All of them were, except for one. Brothers, Genesis 6:11 tells us, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God didn't intend it that way to begin with. God created man his own pure image. That's how God created. Holy and pure. God had created a world, a peace, and a place that he put man into. That's who he created. He didn't create the nonsense that was going on there at that time. But by the time that Noah come around, brother and sister, wickedness was everywhere. It was on every hand. And I'm convinced today, more than ever, I am convinced that is what's going on in this world that we are living in today. I am convinced that it is. I'm not the only convinced, I am almost 100% sure that that's what's going on today. I believe that. Have you ever seen violence so widespread? Have you ever seen it on every hand as it is today? Yes, I believe we're getting closer. Yes, I do. Because our culture is very much like it was in the day of Noah. Matthew 24:37 tells it best. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's getting that way. Be prepared. Keep looking towards the eastern sky, because I believe he could come at any time. Don't you think God's looking down and saying like he did in Genesis 6:6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Can you imagine a God's heart being grieved? Can you believe that? And God wishing he had never created mankind at all? He did that. He had wished he had never made mankind whatsoever. That's what he was saying. If you've ever watched your son and daughter make a mistake, if you've ever done that, and you know what it's like to have a heart filled with pain, if you've ever witnessed your son or daughter make mistakes, and I know some of you in here have. I know I have in my life. And your heart gets filled with pain and grief because of what they've done. Can you imagine God? Does it not make you one of creation? They is not rotten to the core? Genesis 6:7 tells us that's what God is going to do about it. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, before it repenteth me that I've made them. Now let me remind you again what I'm preaching about this morning. We are each accountable for God for the choices that we make. We are all accountable. Their sins were so wicked that it repented God that he had made them. God was sorry he ever created mankind. Every human being on the planet earth in the day of Noah was going to be held accountable for what each and one of them had ever done. Look today, everyone. Thinks they're right. Everyone thinks they're right just because, you know, just like he did back in the day. You know, they think that just because the majority of them agree with them, they think they're right. There's people out there today that think just because the majority of this country, you look at the polls, you look at what's saying out there, and how they say, well, the majority of the people believe this is right. I don't care if the whole majority believe it's right. I don't care if they do. God's word does not teach that. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And he goes on to tell us in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be where be in that go therein. Thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And over in Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. How much plainer can God's word say? I don't care if 98% of the people think it's right. If God says it is no, it is no. That's how it is. Do you realize? I don't know if you realize. Do you realize the majority of the people, of the Germans in World War II, believed Hitler was right when he started World War II? Did you believe that? Do you know that? They believed that. Do you believe that the majority of the people lived in the southern states at the time that the Civil War started thought that slavery was right? They believed that with their heart wholeheartedly. They believed it was right. But let's keep in mind that sometimes majority can be wrong. Also, that we are all accountable to God for the choices we may make regardless of what other people say. Me and you are accountable for what we say. But in the midst of all this wickedness, there was one man, one, who was righteous. Now Genesis 6:8 tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us over in Genesis when it's telling the story, about at least four times, that Noah did all that God had commanded him to do. That would look pretty good on anybody's resume, would it not? I'll tell you what, if I had to hand in a resume to get into heaven, I hope one of the things that's right at the top of it is that I did what God wanted me to do. And I hope that would be your resume also. I hope and pray that that's on your resume. Genesis 6:9 also tells us, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. He walked with Him. I tell you, I want to walk with God. You know what I think that means? I tell you, I've got to think about it. This tells me that Noah was so close to God. It tells me that he always felt His presence. You know that? I want to be that way, don't you? I want to feel His presence. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. A preacher of righteousness. Did you realize it took over 100 years to build the ark? I know you did. You know that. And you know what? During that time, Noah tried to warn the people of impending danger. He tried to preach to them the whole time. But I want to tell you something. If they were to take a CNN poll back then, if they had such a thing back then, or a Fox News poll back then, or a Rasmussen poll back then, what do you suppose they would have said about Noah during that 100 years? What do you think? You know, would you thought that he's good or bad? Or what if they'd ask if he's good or bad? What if you thought if he was stupid? What if you thought, you know what, the replies would have ranged from anything from eccentric? I could have heard it now. He's a bigot. I could have heard that. Noah's intolerant. Oh, I could have heard that one. You know what? He don't want anybody on that ark except those that want that really trust God. He's a bigot. He's intolerant. I can hear that. I believe during the building of the ark, he got discouraged several times also. I believe that. I believe that. And I'll get back on the main point of my lesson here in a minute about, you know, we stand revival. I believe there were times when he became disenchanted with people and tired of rejection. Don't you? I get that way. I get that way. I get disenchanted and I get tired of people sometimes who, you know what, who just want to keep after things, keep going after certain things and go after you about certain things, and they don't understand what's going on in your life or anybody else's. I believe there were times he questioned God about what he was doing. Are you sure this is what you want me to do, God? Are you sure this is going to be, there's going to be a flood to comprehend this? Noah had no idea what a flood was. He didn't know what a flood was. Here he is, probably out in the middle of this area. And this area that had never been a flood, never rained. And God's telling him, Noah, you build this monstrosity. And I want to tell you what, there's going to become a great water. And it's going to flood this area. And it's going to rain, going to flood. And you know what? You build it, and you believe what I'm telling you. Let's just comprehend that for a minute. Just put that in there. Say, don't you think Noah questioned God on what he was doing sometimes? God, it's been 25 years. I'm gonna go down through this a little bit. God, it's been 25 years. The weather's been beautiful. There's never been nothing happen. I've never seen nothing happen. God, you know what? The people are making fun of me. It's been 20. You sure? And you know, God is. Are you sure this is right? Could you hear him after 50 years? God, you know what? 50 years. The sun's come up and down. It's went up and down every day. You know, you have people go by their daily walk of life. Nothing has changed whatsoever. Not a thing, God. It has not changed in 50 years. You know what? Did I hear you right? Were you still telling me to build this thing back then? Did I hear you right? I'll tell you what. Have you never had doubts in your life? This preacher's had doubts in his life. I'm going to tell you. I have. Certain times in my life I've had doubts, and I've had to go say, God, strengthen me, show me. Now it's 75 years. Yes, I'm still working on this boat, God. I am. Preaching to the people. I'm preaching to them. You know what? About their impending judgment. And you know what? But they laugh at me and they say, Noah, you're crazy. You're nuts. He said, this is nonsense. You've been doing this for 75 years. The sun's come up and down. And you know, Noah, we've grown our plants. Our kids have been born. And things are going on just like it was. People are married and given in marriage, God. And God, and I'm still bitter, and the people are making fun of me. Now let's go to 100 years. You know what? Here's Noah. He's saying, God, it's been 100 years. I said, I've been working and preaching faithfully. Still nothing. Life has just went on like it was. You know, I'm 600 years old now. And Noah's 600 years old whenever the flood came. And I feel like I've wasted 100 years of my life, God. I feel like I have. People walk by me and mock me and say, why don't you tear that thing down and do something useful with it? Build a barn, build a house. Do something useful with that. God, I know that you're real. I know that I've heard you right, and I'm building this ark. And you know what you're telling me now? There's going to be 7 days, it's going to rain. What's rain? He never said that before that time. You notice that? God never told him it was going to rain before the 7 days before. Did you notice that? It's going to rain. What's rain? So God's telling me in 7 days, listen, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. Praise God. He had doubts. Yes, I even think he doubted. I did. But verse 5 tells us Noah did according to all the Lord wanted him to do. Can we say that? Can we say that? You know, otherwise, we've not lived on this earth in those 600 years. God's not told us to build an ark out here to survive an iceberg. Yet. But could you imagine the ridicule we would take? Moses also made the same point over in Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20 when he tells the Israelites, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give them. Choose. There's a choice to be made. Choose. We can make the choices that we have can have a negative effect on you. They can have a negative effect on your family. They can have a negative effect on your neighbors, on your coworkers, on all that you come in contact with during the day. The choices that you make today or down through this week can have that kind of effect on people. God's justice and love. In the story, we've seen how the choices of those individuals affected the evil people, affected the humankind. The choices they made for them and their families affected them. We're going to see that here in a minute. We can also see how the choices Noah made affected him and his family. You see, let's see how God handled it. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth. You may ask, what kind of a God is the kind of a God that we serve that would do something like that? You could ask that to yourself. I've heard people ask that. I really have heard. And what kind of a God will destroy the world with a flood and kill everything on it except that's on that ark? What kind of a God would do that? I'll tell you what kind of a God he was, and I'm thanking you for asking me. He is a God whose heart is filled with pain. His heart was filled with pain. A God who loves his children and has watched them make wrong decision after wrong decision, year after year. He's a God who realized if he didn't do something, he would soon not have one righteous person left upon the earth. I'm going to tell you what. He's looking down upon this world today and saying the same thing. I believe he is. He was and still is patient and loving. He waited 120 years for people to listen to Noah's warning. I don't know about you, but I would think that if somebody preached 120 years and was building something like that and warned the people of impending danger, that someone would have listened. Someone would have heard and listened. No one listened except Noah and his family. No one. But they would not. Their hard hearts would not allow them to listen. They kept on going on their own evil way. And He's a God who cannot handle wickedness very long. He will not do it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand the kind of God that we serve? He can't go to put up with wickedness forever, but He makes a way for you and I to make it right. He does that. You know, we can't even imagine the ridicule that Noah went through. We can't even. A flood's coming to destroy the world. Have you ever heard of anything so ridiculous? And listen to me. Over in Hebrews 11:7, this tells you all you need to know about whether or not they knew about the flood. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know that? Those people, they didn't have no idea what was coming, but Noah knew it. Because God had prepared an ark to the saving of His house, by the which He condemned the world, because the heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Now there may be some of you here today that say, some of you in here today that have made bad choices in your life. I don't know. I don't know your hearts, but there may be some in here today who have made bad choices. I've messed up my life. It seems that like nothing I can do, there seems like there's nothing I can do about it. You know, there are people out there that have that on their hearts. They feel that they've messed their lives up so bad that there's nothing that they can do about it. Or maybe the crowd you are hanging out with is starting to drag you down. Whether you're at school, whether you're at work. And you know what? They're trying to get you to make bad choices in your life. And listen, this happens. This happens in people's lives. And you're thinking to yourself, these are my friends. These are my family. You know, how can I make the right choice without losing them? Can I give you just a little caveat to that? Sometimes people like that aren't worth keeping. Whenever they're trying to be your friend and trying to drag you down from what you believe. I don't think sometimes they're your friends. I really don't. No matter how wrong or how bad your past choice has been, no matter how dark or deep that it may have been, the blood of Jesus Christ can clean you and make you new. That's a choice that you can make right here this morning. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, the choice that He's wanting you to make is say, listen, come and accept me into your heart. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. No matter how much the world wants to allure you, no matter how much the choices are right through the Word and His Spirit, it can lead you to the right choices. That's how we can do it. You can make the choices to change. You can become, listen to this, a new person, a new creation in Jesus Christ. Choose Him this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Yes, the choices that you and I make, those are the choices we will stand for. You know, there's a scripture, and it goes about with death, and it goes, He said, howsoever the tree falleth, that's how it shall lie. There's no purgatory, folks. There's no place out there, a holding place out there where somebody here can pray and get you right after you're dead. There's not. Once you die, and you go out of this world, and if you've accepted Jesus, or if you haven't accepted Jesus, that's it. That's it. And I want you to know this morning, the choice that you make, the choice that you're setting back here. If someone's here this morning and you're being dealt with, listen to me. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Don't look behind you. You look to Jesus.
Amen.
That's the choice you need to make. As they come and give a song.